You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with Jalen Ramsey. There's nothing more difficult to accomplish than imitation of an all-time great. I've only seen it pulled off successfully one time. Kobe Bryant nearly perfected his Michael Jordan impersonation. Most imitators, no matter how talented, fail spectacularly. Remember when the actor Chuck Norris tried to duplicate the success of Sylvester Stallone's John Rambo character? 2 years after the release of Rambo First Blood, Norris played the role of Vietnam War veteran Colonel James Braddock in the movie Missing in Action. It grossed just $20 million. The subsequent Missing in Action prequel and sequel were even bigger flops, grossing a combined $15 million. There's only one Rambo. I bring all this up because Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey desperately wants to imitate Deion Sanders. Football's Rambro. Ramsey is a Florida State alum like his idol, Sanders. Ramsey has spent the first 3 years of his NFL career trapped inside a Jacksonville prisoner of war camp. This week, after an argument with Warden Doug Marrone, Ramsey hatched an escape plot by asking to be traded. Most experts believe my Kansas City Chiefs should do whatever it takes to land the flamboyant and talented defensive back. The experts believe Ramsey could be the addition that makes the Chiefs better than the Patriots. I'm on the fence. Is Jalen Ramsey the next Rambo? Or is he James Braddock? Is he Sly Stallone or Chuck Norris? When you hired the original Rambro, Deion Sanders, you knew you were getting a Super Bowl blockbuster. Deion spent 5 years locked inside Atlanta's POW camp before escaping to San Francisco. He was hired by Eddie DeBartolo to get the 49ers past the Cowboys in the NFC Championship. Rambro delivered. He was named the 1994 NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and he led the 49ers to a Super Bowl victory. The next year, Deion released Rambro First Blood Part 2 when Jerry Jones hired him to get the Cowboys past the 49ers. Rambro delivered again. The Cowboys won the Super Bowl. Jalen Ramsey comes with a hefty price tag. The Jaguars allegedly won a first-round draft pick and a starter for Ramsey, who is 24 years old and regarded as the best cover corner in the league. He's loud and disruptive. A year ago, he ran his mouth all offseason and put a bullseye on the Jaguars that they clearly couldn't handle. A year after playing an AFC championship, the Jags tumbled to 5-11 last season. Ramsey also wants to be the league's highest paid defensive player. With star quarterback Patrick Mahomes due an extension next offseason, paying Ramsey would be difficult. Ramsey could be a 1 or 2 year rental. Trading a first round pick and a starter for a rental is only worth it if Ramsey is Rambro second blood. Rambro 2.0 would shut down Antonio Brown in the postseason. In a 2018 playoff game, the Jags beat the Steelers 45-42, but AB had 7 catches for 132 yards and 2 TDs. Ramsey had 3 tackles in that game. He was missing in action. You can blame that on Jacksonville's scheme, which doesn't allow Ramsey to strictly shadow the opponent's top receiver, that's fair. But the thing is about Rambro, the obstacles don't matter. Rambro is going to Rambro regardless of the scheme. If Jalen Ramsey is truly the next Deion Sanders, I'd trade wide receiver Tyreek Hill and a draft pick to get him. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Do the Chiefs need Jalen Ramsey to contend with the Patriots in the AFC?
No. No, they don't. And I don't even want to go down the path of figuring out how much it's going to cost them to acquire him. You got to stay pat in this situation. And one, you have to remember the reference point of last year, AFC Championship game, when you went out there and lost a one-possession game to the New England Patriots Super Bowl champions. Your defense was second to last year. And this year, new defensive coordinator. You addressed it in terms of Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, Bashaud Breeland. You got some new assets out there. 19th ranked already in 2 weeks. And if you think about it, people are like, 19th. You're supposed to be happy about that? I remind everyone that the New England Patriots played a team last year called the Los Angeles Rams that had the 19th ranked defense. So this defense is already adequate enough to get you to the Super Bowl, and then Patrick Mahomes got to do your magic and get him over that hump. Rolling the dice and saying, no, let's poach our team of a first-round pick and a starter to bring in Jalen Ramsey, who I remind you, despite the perception and the love for his game, he was 24th ranked as a cornerback last year coming out of the season. This year in 2 weeks, he's already dropped to 89th ranked. So if his trajectory is going south and your team's trajectory is going north, why is this a conversation? No to Jalen Ramsey.
Woo!
Smokes! He's Chuck Norris.
Wow. No. I'm going all in. The Kansas City Chiefs need Jalen Ramsey. And the reason they need Jalen Ramsey is because for them to win the championship, their defense has to play at a 15 or higher level. And they can win and score points, but they have to be able to get stops. And without a legitimate corner, they don't have the ability to get stops, particularly against the Patriots. When you look at the way this is lining up, it's lining up like these guys are going to meet in the AFC Championship game, a heavyweight title fight. You have to have enough weapons to deploy against the Patriots. Having Jalen Ramsey to go on A.B. or Josh Gordon allows them then to zone everybody else. I think the Chiefs need to make the move, and I don't think any price is too expensive.
I think if you brought him in, you would most likely, because of how good Kendall Fuller is, he would probably replace Breeland on that other side. Now, the one thing you got to understand about the New England Patriots, it's not about how you cover that's going to beat the New England Patriots. It's how you rush, all right? Pass rush. You're talking about Alex Okafor and Frank Clark, who have no sacks on the season yet for this Kansas City Chiefs defensive front at the ends position. If you're going to try to bolster your defense and bulk up your defense to be able to win an AFC game, if you look historically, why was the reasons that the New York Giants were able to beat that New England Patriots team in the Super Bowl? It was their pass rush, guys like OC and guys like Strahan and all those guys. And and you're looking at the ability to do what they needed to do up front. Now, what's scary about that is you had a really strong defensive front coming into that Super Bowl last year with the Rams. And they neutralized that pass rush. So the question is, can you win if you add Jalen Ramsey? The answer is no. They're not going to win the AFC with just adding Jalen Ramsey. It's going to have to be an upfront battle, and you're going to have to win that strategically more so than coverage.
Marcellus, I know you're on the other side of the argument than Bucky, but didn't the Chiefs, haven't you said repeat, the Chiefs led the league in sacks last year?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so they had a pass rush last year against New England, and it wasn't enough. You're looking at a New England team that added Antonio Brown, and I know it was against the Dolphins, but in week one, it's like, and they know what to do with him. And so you're going to tell me the Patriots can add Antonio Brown and the Chiefs don't need to add any more to compete with them?
Well, if you think about it, look, we're playing a little seesaw here. Do you want to attack him up front? Do you want to try and beat Tom Brady in coverage? Tom Brady, if you look at his numbers last postseason, Every single game, you basically saw decline. I don't know if that's age or you're playing stiffer competition every single round. You look against the Chiefs, two interceptions against the Chiefs. You're talking about 65 completion percentage. That's good. But the rating, quarterback rating, 77 for Tom Brady. They were doing something effective against Tom Brady with what they had, which was second to last. I'm now going to give my new defensive coordinator the opportunity to go out there and let this evolve. It's already evolved to 19th rank. It's already evolved to a Super Bowl level defense.
2 weeks in.
Okay, I get it. We always do this. 2 weeks in last year, I was saying Patrick Mahomes is the man.
Not 2 weeks in.
Okay, I just heard Colin Cowherd make a hell of a point.
Okay.
Seven teams, I think, last year started out 2-0.
Five of them didn't make the playoffs.
So,
yeah.
It's early to make any pronouncements about the Chiefs defense, particularly no sacks from Frank Clark.
And that's fair. That is fair. But again, if we're saying, I'm not saying so much, it's not going at the Chiefs. It's basically saying, what is the formula if you want to win against the Patriots?
I'm going to tell you.
So I can be clear on that.
And Bucky's the former defensive back. He's the scout here. What's your take? How good is Jalen Ramsey? I think he is capable of being a Deion Light type defensive back.
I put him in that class because he is a world-class athlete with all-pro skills. You talk about a guy that won the ACC long jump championships with a jump that was over 25 feet. So he is a spectacular athlete. He's long, he's rangy, he's physical, he's versatile in the way that he plays. He can press, he can play off, he's a willing tackler. He takes on the challenge of taking on the best guy. And so when I look at what we have to defend with the New England Patriots, you have to have weapons to match up with their weapons because the version that they're trying out this year is a much more explosive version than the one that we saw last year. Josh Gordon is healthy, and when he's healthy, he is a dude. You need someone that can physically take him on. You brought up Kendall Fuller. Maybe you put Kendall Fuller on AB so now you can match Jalen Ramsey size for size on Josh Gordon. The thing that you have to have when you're Andy Reid, you have to have options because if you think you're going to play Tom Brady in a static defense, we're going to play Tampa 2 or we're going to play cover 1 the entire game, it's not going to work. But you got to have the firepower to be able to throw it at them.
But I like putting up, at least in mindset, mantra to my team, we have the same defense as the Rams who were in the Super Bowl last year, but we got a better offense. I like
that's
that.
True.
That's something I can actually use to galvanize my guys in terms of confidence. I also want to go out there and say, if Jalen Ramsey's the solution, that 7-catch, 132-yard, 2-touchdown performance last time Antonio Brown saw him in the playoffs, is that what I really want to sell to my butt?
Postseason. They had a regular season game in 2018 where Jalen was more effective.
Right.
I think they only completed 3 of 8 targets towards him when Ramsey was guarding him. The only thing I think you're missing, Marcellus, is a desperation from Clark Hunt, the owner, to Andy Reid, the head coach.
Desperation?
Yes. They have not had postseason success in a long time. They haven't been. That fan base is irate and frustrated and scared. They haven't been to the Super Bowl since Super Bowl III.
They were in the AFC Championship last year.
I got it.
And they got a third-year quarterback.
That's not the Super Bowl.
I mean,
you got to strike when the iron is hot.
That thing going to be hot when we dead and gone. Because Patrick Mahomes is not going anywhere, hello? Yeah,
but you got to think about this. Patrick Mahomes can get paid after next season.
He is.
After the season, that extension is coming. And with the TV revenue, who knows? He may get $250 million.
Yeah.
So now, if you're going to get Jalen Ramsey, you need to get the pieces now. You got Frank Clark lined up. Go ahead and get Jalen Ramsey. Make the trade. Lock him up. Make sure you have enough weapons so you can enjoy this run that you can have with your young quarterback. They also have Tyreek Hill. I think if you're the Chiefs, go all in. Because remember, people love draft picks. But I'm taking proven players over picks.
I'm with you
there.
24-year-old.
I mean.
But look, we all up here, we in the comps business. We are all real estate agents just talking sports. Let's be real about this. So if you look at the comps, I already told you about the Rams situation. The answer to this question, you won't know until it's too late. Think about it. If Jalen Ramsey's a solution, we're only waiting for one game to figure this out, the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Now, I can be right, you can be right, but all the way up to that point, this is house money. Jalen Ramsey won't even have impact. Now, I'm not talking about production, I'm talking about impact. He has to get them over the hump. Now, what if they come out in that game and it's an offensive struggle? Mm. What if they come out in that game and they're just turnover, sloppy weather? Mm. You did all, you gave up, you said Tyreek Hill and a first round?
No, I didn't say a first round. I said Tyreek Hill and a draft
pick. And a draft pick.
I didn't say, okay. If you give up Tyreek Hill, you're not giving up a first rounder, okay. In my
but
opinion.
But Tyreek Hill.
But yeah, I would do that. Based off of what I'm seeing from these other wide receivers on the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes makes them. And I'm looking at all, Tyreek Hill was out last week.
Bucky, save him.
I'm sorry.
Whoa, I mean,
you got Travis Kelce.
I like Pat Mahomes, but I'm not going to say that he elevated and makes Tyreek Hill. Tyreek is beep, beep. That speed is real.
That's different.
I've never seen anybody as explosive as he is on the field. And that's saying, look, DeSean Jackson is a big play special, but Tyreek Hill is something different. So now, they have the perfect formula. That's why I'm saying you go all in. The weapons they have on offense with Pat Mahomes, to fortify that defense, you got a pass rusher in Frank Clark. You have another one in Chris Jones. You go and get a lockdown corner, a guy who specializes in locking it down in Jalen Ramsey.
This is what I think the Chiefs, what they would be getting with Jalen Ramsey, potentially. And it's what Deion provided in spades. Just a confidence.
Yes.
When Deion showed up, it was like, oh, it's winning time.
It's on. Yes.
Everybody's all in, like, damn, Deion's here. And when this dude, Deion, and y'all were around, when Deion jumped from San Francisco to the Cowboys and just flipped the whole thing, the Cowboys win. Jalen Ramsey wants to be Deion. I'm not saying he is.
Uh-oh.
But he would provide a confidence to that Chiefs team that I don't think is there.
Testify, LeVar. Testify. But,
they had Charles Haley. They had guys like Darren Woodson. They had a strong nucleus of defensive players.
The Chiefs have a strong nucleus.
When you look at the San Francisco 49ers with Merton Hanks and E.D. and those guys in that secondary.
And you know who they needed?
Who
Deion.
They needed?
They needed Rambo.
Here's what's difficult. Here's what's difficult about what you're saying. He is Chuck Norris in this situation.
He's Chuck Norris.
And you have to be realistic. I'm okay with your analysis on Jalen, and I think Jalen is a special talent. But to go from special talent to saying he's like Deion?
Woo! That's a leap.
I gotta hit my brakes on that one. I respect fully come from with your analysis.
That's a longer leap than the long jump he did in college of 25 feet.
That's great
to Deion.
My brakes was screeching in my head when you said he's Deion-like. My thing is, there are a lot of guys that, like, when I was coming out, there were a lot of guys that were considered LT-like, right? You have to be very careful when you make those comparisons because you start to place them on the level of what Deion
does. Here's what I said about him when he was coming out. I said he's the modern-day Charles Woodson. Would you take that? Are you okay with that?
I'm still.
When we draft somebody in the top five, the expectation is they're a guy that we can envision having a gold jacket on. Based on what Jalen Ramsey has done his first 3 years in the league, we can envision him eventually walking through the hell of doors and can't.
Sure.
Jalen Ramsey has lived up to the hype of being an all-pro caliber player. So now you talk about giving him an opportunity to be on a stage, to live up to it, because if he goes, now the pressure is on him to prove to everyone, I am what I say I am. And I think that motivates him. It helps the Chiefs elevate their defense.
I think he has covered on a phenomenal level since he's been in the league. That's one thing you will not question about Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. But when you start talking about C. Wood and Prime, you're talking about punt returns. You're talking about kickoff returns. You're talking about interceptions that change the game. You're talking about transformers. They transform the entire game. And I have not seen that element from Jalen Ramsey.
Well, you're talking about guys that consistently, when Deion moved to San Francisco Dallas, he got put on the stage.
Sure.
Again, this kid's down in Jacksonville. They had one fluky year. He's not been on the stage, and he keeps saying, no, I'm ready for Broadway. I want to track the best wide receiver. They won't let me do it here in Jacksonville. He wants to dance on the same stage as Deion.
But it's still not the same impact.
If he shows up, the impact of a prime. Again, it's all a gamble.
Everything is a gamble. But I wouldn't gamble on that.
They're sitting there rolling the dice.
Talked me even further out of rolling the dice on Jalen Ramsey in this sense. you want the bigger stage. When Deion was in Atlanta, it didn't matter where he was. He still did it, right? As you say, the POW. He still did it as a POW.
Atlanta ain't Jacksonville.
And I played in Jacksonville. First of all, Duval. Second of all, that was a paid retirement of 2 years of glory for me. I love me some Jacksonville. If you ain't, if you're not balling out consistently on the smaller stage, why do I feel the confidence?
He has been.
No, wait a minute. We just brought up Saxonville.
He has balled out.
Saxonville, when they showed up, Deion, no one was talking about Jacksonville's defense. Then he showed up, they became Saxonville.
Deion Charles Woodson. Y'all act like it's not a VIP in the Hall of Fame, right? Yeah. So you put him in that VIP with the Hall of Famers like that.
He could be.
But you know what? There's a consistent excellence.
Don't do that.
There's a consistent excellence that we are missing right now from Jalen Ramsey that is under indictment.
Hey guys, this is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for the future or visit pacificlife.com.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas. Where Dak Prescott has put the ball squarely in the Cowboys' court this season, playing well enough to ratchet up the pressure on the team to get his contract done sooner rather than later. Cowboy Executive Vice President Stephen Jones says the two sides aren't very far apart and that the money will put Dak in rare air. He also said something about...
What did he say?
We need to do right by Dak, I think, now. Instead of a team-friendly deal, now they're talking about doing right by Dak. Mm. The question is making Dak the highest-paid quarterback and player in the NFL, is that the right thing to do?
Absolutely. You don't want my Dak drum roll again, huh? We ain't going to do that again? Well, I'll just give you all the stats that just shows how great Dak Prescott is in the most important categories, including winning. Let's talk about what this conversation is about right now in the present tense. If you look at these two games, what I don't think they should do is move the conversation in terms of price. What I think it should do is give you confidence in the move you're going to make. So there's two different things occurring. Some people are thinking every game Dak plays, he should get more money. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, you should have more confidence in the money you're going to give him already. Now, why is that? Ezekiel Elliott, who had 2 years left on his contract, really 4 years under control with the franchise tag, was given a contract early. Why? Because they knew where that would land in public perception in the fan base. Oh, Zeke's top three, if not the best running back in the league. Oh, we could pay him prematurely, even though 2 years, maybe 4 years under contract, knucklehead, whatever. People are going to justify this because he is Zeke. The reason Dak hasn't got signed yet is because public perception still has anxiety, trepidation. Dak's going to make how much? But you know what these two games did? Give you confidence where this is going to land. It's going to land in a different place than it was 2 years prior to this moment. So if I'm Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, I don't think the price is going up. He's going to be the highest paid. He's in – the boat is rising because the tide is higher.
You sure do be speaking that truth, pal.
And I think that right now –
bring it, pal.
Pay the man because you should
be confident. Well, hold on for one minute. It has elevated because at one point, and you were rightfully are, one more dollar than Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Now it's one more dollar than Russell Wilson.
Yeah. You got a point there. You got a point right there.
It has to be a few more dollars than Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Because I've had to wait for my money. I've given you 4 years at a discounted rate. And the fact that I couldn't get my money last year, I now have the leverage. I'm a punisher. You're going to have to give me my money and make me right. So when they talk about Rare Friday and we're going to do right by him, they have to do right by me because, according to this, $680,000, that's what my check looks like. I'm looking at guys like Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, $32 plus million, and I'm making $600,000. Oh, no, we're not. We need big money. We need big bread. We got to make it right.
Damn, Darnell making more
reparations.
Than him.
Yeah.
Reparations.
I'll tell you what's interesting. Last segment, you used the word desperation.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. That would describe having the type of personnel that you have in Dallas right now, and Jerry Jones trying to get that elusive Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's turning into a desperation situation for Jerry Jones, all right? So that's one thing. Then you made reference after the game. You said, man, you're talking about a outstanding performance in the nation's capital against a divisional rival that had Zeke in the passenger side seat of the car that who was driving.
That.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When you have those things to say, and you're talking about the accomplishment and what that man is doing on that football field, he has shown you in one of the largest markets, the top football team in the market, he doesn't fold under pressure. You have desperation, and you got a guy who understands what that star represents and is representing it well. It's not even a question of if he will be the highest paid or if it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. The question is, how much of a gap from Russell Wilson will it be where he makes that highest quarterback pay?
Dak skeptic. I've been a long, but they're gonna have to go to 40 now. I really do. And Marcellus, you missed it yesterday. We kind of giggled at Jane Slater for saying that, I certainly lambasted Todd France for wanting it potentially. I think that's where they're at, and I think that's what Stephen Jones is saying. We got to make it. It's got to be right for Dak. Wow, they went from team friendly to it's got to be right for Dak, and I think it's the right thing to do because the dude has been that reliable for you on and off the field. Not a whiff of controversy. When Jerry got into his little national anthem controversy, Dak stood there right there with him, stood in there strong, and then has shown up physically. Not been Carson Wentz, a lot of these guys can't stay healthy. Dak runs the ball a little bit, has been there physically for you every game, and is ascending as a passer. You got to give the man his 40 because you already know the cap's going to go up and Patrick Mahomes is going to go to 42, 45. So,
yeah,
it's the right thing to do.
My position has not changed. His floor was a dollar more than Carson Wentz, and the ceiling, as crazy as it sounded, was that $40 million, and now it seems like a reality. So now you hear Stephen Jones saying, we got to make it nice for Dak. Dak's like, I've been sitting here at 40. Where y'all been? Now y'all here. And let me tell you why that's so important in statistical form. Because Jerry Jones has never seen this out of a Cowboys quarterback. And the Cowboys know this is rarefied air. He has 7 passing touchdowns after 2 games. You know the last time that happened, wearing a Dallas Cowboys uniform? 1966. Dandy Don Meredith. Hello. Dak, we done went through Troy Aikman, Danny White, Roger Staubach, and others.
Tony Romo.
And Dak's like,
Tony Banks.
Quincy Carter.
Quincy Carter.
There you go.
My
Quincy
dog.
Carter.
You. Hookie. Oh, so all of that said, and Dak is saying, I'm standing alone, brother. And the cap goes up every year, and you paying guys early all around the board. My turn.
Well, to me, where they can do this, and you talked about the fan base and perception, my issue has always been in the locker room. What kind of contract could you put on Dak where he could walk in that locker room and guys wouldn't raise their eyebrow like, man, they paying this dude what? Because, look, it happened to Donovan McNabb. Mm-hmm. Donovan McNabb was running around in Philadelphia making too much money for some guys in that locker room. T.O. gave voice to it, but he was not alone. Yeah. T.O., I don't think, is just some lone wolf. He was speaking for others like, I don't know if he's really worth it. And again, this is not a shot at Dak. But I wouldn't put Dak right now at the level I had Donovan McNabb at that time in his prime. Donovan McNabb was balling out of control. Terrific. Dak seems to be going that direction. And what I think Dak has done, the way he's handled everything, is he's not going to face the kind of blowback that McNabb did within his own locker room.
Now, but with that being said, if you look at that locker room in Philadelphia, that was a very, very veteran, heavyweight locker room full of dudes. You're not going to sit there and be like, look at Brian Dawkins or some of the other guys,
Hugh Douglas
and those guys. They, you know, some of those guys that they had on that team, Troy Vincent was on that team. I mean, there are guys that really in that locker room, and Trotter's a hater. So you got to believe that when you look at some of the personalities of how they were and how money-driven some of those guys were, you're talking about from a leadership perspective and from a veteran perspective, I don't think he's going to have that type of blowback
in
Dallas.
I'm going to give you another analogy to it that you can say the exact same thing about. But there does seem to be a pattern. Because at one time, I think McNabb may have been the highest-paid player in the league. Russell Wilson, even though he just now got to be the highest player in the league, once he got paid in Seattle, the Legion of Boom started tearing him up.
And that's fair.
There's something about being a black quarterback and getting all that money that in these 70% black locker rooms, it doesn't play as well as it should.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't play well sometimes if they feel like there's not a level of authenticity when it comes to the player. I think the thing with Russell Wilson, there were people that may have questioned his authenticity in terms of how he acted and how he presented himself out in the public when it came to the interviews and the like. With Dak Prescott, I think there's been a level of consistency from the time that he's been the starting quarterback for Dallas. Mm-hmm. He has been the same guy. He and Zeke were joined at the hip their rookie season. But after that, Dak has kind of become his own man when it came to becoming the leader of the franchise. You talked about the national anthem and how he stood with the owner, all the other things, handling all the questions. At some point, we always talk about this franchise quarterback has to be presidential. I don't think without question that we can say he has been a presidential player when it comes to Dak Prescott.
I think that wasn't a black or white issue. I think that if I were in that locker room, let me just teleport over there and say, y'all haven't won championships, McNabb or Dak. So then we get into a conversation of achievement versus earning. Mm. What have you achieved versus what are you now going to earn? Because I know how I got up this mountain, and it was hell to pay. And you as well, but you didn't get to the top of this mountain. So if you're going to make that amount of money, and then you're going to walk around like you have that in your pockets, and you haven't been to the mountaintop? Now I got an issue with you, black or white.
Yeah. Joined now by former Browns head coach Hugh Jackson, it's time for That Dude's Dudes. Marcellus, what you got?
Got some love for those dudes in the trenches who don't get enough love, but they do on our show, That Dude's Dudes. Let's start off with number three, BYU's defensive lineman, Lorenzo Fawatea. And Brigham Young, BSC. 30-27. You can see right now on this play, bursts up the middle and forces the strip sack on Keaton Slovis. Check out his stance. Usually your back foot goes first, but what he did was let his front foot go first, throwing off the snap hand of the center, throwing off the timing and the punch. So now he gets the edge. And in this moment, since the timing's off, he collapses the elbow in the center, turns it to Superman, leaps, and forces the fumble on the play. My man, Lorenzo Fawatea. Number three, That Dude of the Week. Now let's go to number two, the Falcons offensive tackle, Jake Matthews. It's a block party out here. Falcons beat the Eagles 24-20, only allowed two sacks last season. But let's look at Jake Matthews with the huge block on Devontae Maddox. Newell Jones goes in for the game-winning touchdown. This is how it's set up. Eagles defense playing man-to-man, cover zero on the 4th and 3. What are y'all, ignorant? Avante Maddox follows Mohamed Sanu's route. Oh, look at Jake Matthews out there. Woo, they see that release right there. Now, this is going to be beautiful. As you see, Maddox realizes, oh, man, I am stuck in this tsunami called Jake Matthews, and he's coming. So now he has to make a quick calculation and decides, let me bail out of here before getting destroyed.
Business
decision. Fortune cookie he turns into right there on that play. And we all see Jake's dad, the Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, loving it. Jake Matthews, number two dude of the week. Now let's go to number one, the Buccaneers outside linebacker, Shaq Barrett, Shaq Attack. Bucs beat the Panthers 2014, and Shaq Barrett gets by Darrell Williams, sacked Cam Newton. Barrett had 3 sacks in the 3rd quarter alone. Barrett and Williams on the island, old Western duel. Can I whistle? Check out this move by Barrett right here. This is the move I used to like to do. I ain't do it as well as this. He travels 4.3 yards with only 1 step. this is deceptive to an offensive lineman. So now he got the distance he needs. He sticks his right leg in the ground for power, and now he's past Williams. Look at that left arm rip. Ooh, got by him, flying in like another Superman. We know Cam is Superman, so what's going to happen here? Man, you got Superman over there sacking Superman. Got love for that right there. Oh, my number one dat dude of the week, Shaq Barrett.
That was the football Euro step, I think, that he used.
A little bit. James Harden travel.
All right, thank you, Marcellus. Yes. All right, let's move to Miami, where Brian Flores' head coaching career is off to a terrible start with reports of players trying to jump ship after the Dolphins lost their first two games by a combined 102-10.
Ooh.
They've been so bad, there's already talk that the team could be headed for 0-16, but Flores says his background will help him deal with whatever is headed his way.
I'm very prepared for difficult moments, I learned resiliency at a very early age, and I think, you know, when you deal with tough times, you know, you want to lean on the people who you trust and you know, care about you and have your back.
All right, Hugh, the NFL's very unforgiving. They've stripped the Dolphins of all their best weapons mm-hmm. and tools. Can you mentally prepare for what Brian Flores seems to be headed for?
Well, obviously, Jason, I've been there. Mm. So it's a tough spot to be in. You got to, you know, work at it each and every day, because first you got to work on you before you can work on your team, the organization, the fans, and everybody else. I think, obviously, he said it, you know, you got to really start to have the right team of people around you, the people you trust, people who you know believe in you, that can keep you moving forward. But he has a tough job, because every day he has to walk in that building and motivate his football team. Every day he has to talk to the media.
Now, when you're talking about creating a culture, and you talk about the projections of this team potentially being a winless team, that culture that's being created this year, can it ever evolve? Can it change if it's losing?
That's tough, you know, because when you're hired, you just said it, it's about changing a culture, because things wasn't going as well, and now it's not starting off the way you wanted it to. The culture has now really fallen to another level. So that's what he's going to have to try to flip as fast as he can. Now, how do you do that? You got to do that a lot of different ways, you know, and sometimes that through players, personnel, people, organization, the whole nine yards. But that's a tough job.
Am I naive for thinking that Stephen Ross is going to stand behind Brian Flores no matter what happens this season? Am I naive for thinking he can survive 0-16?
No, you're not. I think, you know, again, I survived it. So I know what that is. And so I think, obviously, he's in a situation where he's with people he trusts. Obviously, they knew that maybe things wasn't going to go as well as maybe they wanted them to. But again, he has to stay collaborative with the group and make sure that he sees this through. And again, there's got to be some assurances for him that he's going to be okay.
Now, typically, the only opportunities available for a new head coach are bad situations. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Brian Flores, look at your situation, I remember the reports and the analysis at the time. Is it better off for a guy like you, Brian, to pass on opportunities like this just because you know you're kind of set up to fail?
Well, absolutely, if that's what you know. You know, when you there's only 32 of these jobs.
Yeah.
So when you get these opportunities, you know, I don't think people come in with the thought that they're setting up to fail. You know, I hope that's not the case. You know, I don't think it says anywhere in anybody's contract that you're there to lose. I think you're there to try to win.
Yeah, Hugh, but let's look at this offseason. Let's look at the poaching of the veterans. Let's look at the projections of two top 10 picks. The writing's on the wall.
I think you said it, but that was after he got there.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I think you got to make sure that you know for sure what the plan is, first and foremost. And now, once you're in there, has it changed? You know, have we went to another level?
Hugh, but let's be real.
Different conversation?
They've had one winning season in, what, 11 years? Like, how much writing do you need to see on the wall before you realize they're talking to you?
Well, no doubt, but still, you know, you still got to believe the people that bring you there.
Let me ask this, mm-hmm. though, to add it to Marcellus' question. I don't think you can be a head coach in the NFL if you don't believe you can fix that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The whole mindset of a head coach is, I can fix failure.
You're right. We want to run to those opportunities because that's how you build your legacy, that you're able to change the outcome of what a losing organization has been about. So there's no question. Most head coaches would take that challenge in the right situation.
This can flip around. The Lakers, rags to riches and back down to rags.
Right.
And you talk about second most championships, then you look now, six consecutive years, no playoffs. Miami going forward, key ingredients, special sauce to turn this thing around?
Well, first of all, you got to be on the same page. You got to have the same vision. You know, and I think Chris Greer, what he's going to do, obviously they've accumulated a lot of assets, you know, and so it's going to be very important that those assets turn into players, you know, in order to get the organization headed in the right direction. And true, they had to support Coach Flores. I mean, you have to support him from the beginning to the end because he's the one that's standing out in front of it all, you know, dealing with the media every day. And as I said, dealing with the football team.
The thing that I think is going to be tough, though, is if they put 0-16 on you, that's a stigma that's hard to shake no matter what you do. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day.
All right.
Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's move to a guy who's always making waves on Twitter, Colin Kaepernick. Cap's been back in the news this week after a ton of quarterback injuries appeared to reopen the door for a possible comeback. Reportedly, Kaepernick's agent is calling teams who are in need of a QB, and TMZ Sports caught up with Martin Luther King III, who weighed in on Cap's situation. Check this out.
Now, what would change it overnight is if the public decided to say, okay, we're not going to watch. But unfortunately, that's not going to. It's a complicated situation.
Yeah.
Because what about the guys who are playing?
Sure.
I mean, that's their jobs. That's how they make their livelihood. They don't need to have to stop playing.
Guys, why won't this Cap story go away?
I think part of it has to do with the fact that it's the easiest way to garner social media traction by saying, hey, there's a job. Cap should get it. And so I think sports media is addicted to that. I think a lot of celebrities, I saw Master P says the Saints should sign Kaepernick. And I'm like, well, damn, Teddy Bridgewater, not black enough, huh? Let's don't support him. Let's support Cap, the suburbanite from Wisconsin. But it won't go away because social media will not allow it.
That's real. And to add to that, it's interesting. There's so many layers to it. Why won't this go away? One, the guy has become polarizing.
Yes.
So when you're polarizing, you either love him or you love to hate it. But whatever it is going to be of interest. So that's one. Two, I think he speaks for a lot of different camps out there. If you think about it, the cause has caused people to really make him sympathetic in the fact that this is a guy who stood up for injustice, who sat for injustice, who kneeled for injustice, and now they see an injustice being done to him in terms of talent alone. But if anyone knows professional football and professional sports, it's not just an exclusive talent conversation. He speaks for the camps that are black and disenfranchised. He speaks for people of color who are voiceless and powerless. He speaks for mixed race people who have identity balances between being marginalized and privileged. He speaks for white guilt. He speaks for the suburban kids who live vicariously, glorifying criminality and violence from their safe places in the suburbs. And everybody got their hand in this pot stirring it. And all of those populations add up to a guy who now, if you look at where he is, it's impossible to figure out what's going to be next. Because like I said before, the talent is not the only criteria that he's being based on.
No, that's not. But, I mean, let's be real, though. Like, I mean, we've seen the guys that have been signing. Like, Paxton Lynch can't play in the league. He gets signed. We've seen a number of guys that have been retreaded and trotted out there that can't play. The one thing that we can say, regardless of whether you like Cap or not, Cap has been an accomplished player in this league. Cap played at a level where he got his team to the Super Bowl. Cap was a play away from winning the Super Bowl. At no point in this league have we ever seen a quarterback who has been on the cusp of being a Super Bowl winner, never get another opportunity to be a quarterback. And a couple weeks ago, before the season, Josh McCown was celebrated for coming out of retirement in ESPN and being signed. Cap is a more accomplished player than Josh McCown.
Yeah.
So, I think the thing that is the issue is
all those
guys, that he hasn't signed, He hasn't had a workout. It's just uncommon that a player who has accomplished what he's accomplished has never even been brought into a facility to work out.
Listen, I can't wear a size 36 jeans. That's on me. So some of the reason
that's stretchy material.
And so some of it's on Cap.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He hasn't gotten a tryout is on Cap. Mm. What were his salary demands? Is Nessa, his woman, calling people racist and comparing them to Django Unchained? There's all these things that Cap has done that has prevented him from getting this opportunity. It's not just a group of people saying, oh, we're going to deny you a job. Act like you want it.
That's the nail. That's the nail. That's the hammer that hit the nail. Honest, and that's my take on it. It's not. It has nothing to do with talent. This has nothing to do with talent, and the reason why it won't go away is because the name has become synonymous with social inequality or social quality for minorities. It has become synonymous with this empowers me, this empowers us, and that's why people continue to talk about it. That's why it's being talked about. But it has nothing to do with Kaepernick's ability. It has nothing to do with that. And if people think that that's what it is, to make the comparison that this guy isn't as good as a Kaepernick or this guy isn't athletic enough to be a quarterback, it's 100% what you're saying. And when you think about bringing that type of attention to the it's hard enough to win a game in the National Football League. It's hard enough to prepare for the week in the National Football League. We just had this big drawn-out conversation about Antonio Brown and his confusion that could possibly make or break the locker room in Foxborough. Well, when you're talking about of this mass proportion connected to a guy like Kaepernick, if you're bringing him into your organization, you are going to have to deal with some very, very disruptive forces, whether for good or for bad. You are going to deal with some super big disruptive forces. And the one thing that I really genuinely dislike about all of this, because I am one that always stands for my people and will never back down for what my beliefs are and what I represent. But the one thing that really, really irritates me and irks me is that we never really take the other guys that are in those locker rooms into consideration, that are doing their thing and are representing what they're representing. It's all about this one person at this point. Mm. And it's okay to sacrifice everything and everybody else for the better good of what the result could be for this one guy in particular. And I feel like it takes the focus off of what we represent as a total whole to begin with.
Man, I love that. Love that right there. To take them into the process, because I think a lot of people don't understand how you become a professional athlete. And this is what's so disturbing about this story, having such conversation and legs to this extent. Grandma always said, the way you go in is the way you come out. People got to understand, you are not chosen and drafted just on talent alone. If so, we wouldn't have interviews. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't go to the combines. We wouldn't have all these conversations. Mm-hmm. I could knock your head off. What are we talking about here? Why? It's a process, and it's a balancing act between your talent and the issues and what's the surrounding story of you. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. Because the lazy thinkers out there all say this. Hey, man, he's better than the worst player in the league. Why isn't he in the league? Hmm. That's lazy of y'all, because I just told you about the process. It's a balancing act. Now let's look at the numbers. Since y'all want to talk and prop up talent, here's what evaluators also see in Kaepernick in his last 2 years. This is only of 30, not 32 teams, 30 qualifying quarterbacks, dead last, 30th, 27th in completion percentage, passing yards attempt, and passer rating is 24th. So now we're talking about a guy who's subpar in the talent column. Mm. And we know he's going to bring a lot of antagonistic issues with him, such as you've antagonized the police force. Those are the people that protect us. Every single night when we go to bed and curfew, guess who's there? Policemen, off duty, active. So you antagonize them. You talk about the Cubans in the Castro shirt. You talk about the owners with the meme and calling them slave owners. Your girlfriend, whatever relationship, we can't contain.
You're wrong, but I want you to hire me.
The pig socks, all that, the players. You've even beefed with the players. Eric Reid went on the field and fought Malcolm Jenkins over this same issue. So Cap in his camp comes with a lot of issues with a subpar performance level. no one is signing up for that.
I will say this, though. Like, I can understand about the subpar performance level, but Paxton Lynch also played at a subpar
level. Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of guys that are playing that position that have played at a subpar level. I will say this, though, because so much time has left, at some point he's going to have to make a decision. If he really wants to play, he's going to have to go play somewhere. Mm-hmm. And whether that's in the National Football League, the Canadian Football League, the XFL, at some point, if he really wants to make his way back to the league, he's going to have to show people that he can play. And so that is on him. At some point, he's going to have to show people, all right, I'm willing to do anything and everything to go play.
You can have a years. Paxton Lynch on your roster and not have to talk about Paxton Lynch.
Well, and again, and look, right? Man, yeah. There's 63 guys in the locker room counting practice squad. I would say the 63, I would say 58 of them don't want to talk about these issues, period. They're not qualified. That's not what they do. They just want to have fun. And it goes back to risk versus reward as it relates to Kaepernick. And so I've argued at the beginning of this, people to me are supporting Kaepernick. It's their way of saying, hey, look, I'm not racist.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, look, I'm really black. Mm-hmm. Look, I support Cap. He's a heat shield for people to, I stand for all the right things. And so if that's the case, think of being a head coach or a general manager or owner. If you take on the Cap situation and decide he's not good enough, he can't help
you. You connected your job to that.
You're now going to be labeled as racist.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be so people live in so much fear
of
being labeled racist that it's not worth the risk.
That's a great
point. If it doesn't go well, I'm going to be crucified and my brand name, my family, my kids, anybody could come at my wife under attack. That's what Cap has done with the Nessa being out of control, partnering up with a lot of these social justice warriors over Twitter who build their whole following just by calling everybody racist, sexist, homophobic. When you partner with that group, you become toxic and people become afraid of you because it's just not worth the risk.
Yeah, and there's no healthy assessment that could come from that point going forward.
Can't.
And Cap has made his own calculation. He has chosen martyrdom other than playing football because he was, like you said, would have played football already and built himself back up to that place, but it's too risky.
Where's that ticker?
Right, we got to go. Hugh Jackson's back with us. Let's move to Baker Mayfield, who has struggled so far to duplicate the success of his rookie year when he played well enough to justify Cleveland's decision to take him with the number one overall pick. Meanwhile, the guy taken 31 spots later, Lamar Jackson, is so far outperforming expectations, proving he can get it done with his arm just as well as his legs. When you look at their career numbers so far, Lamar has a much better record, but both have huge matchups this week as Baker faces the Rams and Lamar faces the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, Marcellus, the question here is, which quarterback has a brighter future, Mayfield or Jackson?
Lamar Jackson. And I thought it was a slight difference between Lamar Jackson, but it's starting to open up. Usain Bolt in the 200, you know, around the turn is kind of tight. That straight away, what are you doing still running? Mm. It's starting to get to that place, and I'll tell you why.
They're running a marathon, Marcellus, not the 200. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, every marathon is one step at a time, and I'm going to talk about these steps in year two Lamar Jackson right now starting to open up. Baker Mayfield right now is projected this season to have 16 touchdowns and 32 interceptions. Woo! A lot of talk, not a lot of walk so far. And when you come in that loaded from this offseason, I mean, you talking about beating your chest, ready for war. And then the home opener, get dumped by 30. Then this one was, you're playing the third string quarterback and all these acrobatic plays. I remember, Coach, when you guys used to see somebody make an acrobatic catch, you'd be like, damn, I wish he would hit him right in the numbers. Remember those days? I remember when Coach would see somebody dive for a ball, and Coach was like, if he was faster, he wouldn't have to dive. Like, we're giving credit where credit's not due. So all that said, I'm not taking shots at you, Baker Mayfield, but Lamar Jackson is a special talent, and we're starting to see the results.
There's no doubt that Lamar is a special talent, and he's done some phenomenal things. Obviously, over his career, he's 8-1. That's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I would differ a little bit. I think Baker Mayfield is still gonna have a great career. I still stand in his corner, having spent a lot of time around him and know what he's capable of doing. He's playing some better defenses right now, I think, and they're trying to find their football team and find their identity. But the guy is very, very talented. And I think he will catch his stride here soon enough. I truly do.
Well, brighter future is the long haul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so over the long haul, I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield. He was selected number one. I think he's a better passer. Right now, and maybe for the next two or three years, Freddie Kitchens is a first-time head coach.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, I think, is playing for the second or third longest tenured coach in the NFL.
Great point.
Harbaugh, the Baltimore Ravens, they have an experienced game plan that they've put together for Lamar Jackson. Freddie Kitchens is learning on his feet the same as his quarterback. I just think over the long haul, right, Baker's playing with Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry. There's some talent around him that I think over the long, it may not show up this year, but in the preceding years or the following years coming after this, I just think I would still bet on the number one overall pick.
It landed better until I started to process what you were saying. He's the number one overall pick, so he should be better in the long haul. Tom Brady, the GOAT.
No question.
So I'm not
Peyton
even.
Manning was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not gonna go into this jockeying of draft position, but it's okay to be both of them great, but one is greater.
No, I agree.
You know, Justin Gatlin had an amazing career, still out there running. Usain Bolt retired, second forever, but that's still amazing what he's done. And coach, I need more out of you, man. Baker Mayfield trolled you, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
And I respect that you're not going to go back at it, but why is a long-haul picture going to be based on something we haven't seen? But what we have seen in 2 years right now, we're not going to expand that and say that Lamar is better.
Well, because I go back to what Jason said. I think over time, he will prove out to be a better passer, you know, over time.
Better than Lamar or better than he's been
better,
so far?
Better than he's been so far to this year and better than Lamar at that particular point in time. I truly believe that. That's what I feel. And I think that will show itself over time because, again, we're talking about over time. I think the weapons that he'll have at his disposal will always give him a chance to be special that way. I truly believe that.
Can I end it with this? Because sometimes it's not even about who you're facing. It's just what you've done in totality. In NFL history, there have been two quarterbacks who have thrown for 70% completion percentage, 7 touchdowns, and no interceptions in their first two games.
Okay.
It's Patrick Mahomes, and guess who else?
It ain't Baker Mayfield.
It's Lamar Jackson. Can y'all stop talking about this?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Whitlock and Wiley, Hugh Jackson and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to New York, where the Daniel Jones era is about to begin after the team benched Eli Manning in favor of the rookie out of Duke. But now Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio says the team might need to go even further, suggesting the Giants might want to cut Eli so Jones can develop without the former starter looking over his shoulder. Today, Eli was asked if this is the end of the Eli Manning era.
I'm not dying, and the season's not over, so there's a lot. A lot to be positive about, a lot to be grateful for, and, you know, and so I just got to, you know, kind of accept my new role and make the best of it.
Yeah, I agree with Florio. They should cut him.
Wow.
Got to move on. Be good for Eli. Wow. He can go to another team.
Oh, no, the sky would fall if, one, you try to touch Eli Manning. They tried to do that a couple years ago. Two people.
It's not Peyton.
He's Eli. And two people tried to do that, Coach Gong, GM Gong. Touch him again. See what happens to you. You know my last name. You better recognize. Two, a young quarterback needs a security blanket.
Yes.
And the security blanket in this situation will be coming off the field after every possession and getting to talk to Eli Manning, a proven
Who's
winner.
Rooting for your failure.
No, he's not. He's a proven winner. He's a professional. And the guy is big time and knows what it takes. And they're also football family because of the relationship with David Cutcliffe. You have to respect that there's a lot of dynamics working in favor of a young quarterback having someone to mentor him.
Cut him, Hugh.
No,
cut him.
No, don't go to the sideline.
We can't cut this man, no doubt. I mean, this quarterback room, which is a very special room, still needs Eli Manning in it. Mm. because it's going to help Daniel Jones be the best he can be, because there's going to be things that he could show him and tell him that he's going to need to be prepared for. On top of that, you can't take him out of that locker room right now. You've kept him there. You brought him there. He was a starter for 2 weeks. He has been an icon in that organization. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to cut him? I don't think that would be the right thing to do.
No, it sends a bad message. Sends a bad message to the locker room. If they were going to cut
they're
Eli,
moving on from bad players. No, I mean, terrible like, message.
They should have moved. They should have moved on from him in the offseason. But it sends a bad message because, look, this guy was supposed to be your starter. He's the leader. He's the icon of the franchise. I think what you would like to do is have Eli show Daniel Jones how to be Eli-like as the franchise leader. Show him how to handle the press, how to handle all the things that come along with being the QB1 in New York. Look, you've already committed to him. You've already paid him the money. You owe him the money regardless. You might as well allow him to mentor Daniel Jones. I think you keep him on the team.
You know what it does, really? I'm not going to be serious, but I am going to talk about how it registers. It forces you to now discount what buy-in means being a New York Giant. If this is how you treat Eli Manning, when every single guy on that roster would say, my career probably won't match up to his. So if it turns into that reality, and even in fantasy you're thinking, this is how it ends as a New York Giant,
Marcellus,
my buy-in is discounted.
You just said yesterday Eli Manning has made more money.
Second than most in the NFL history.
Yeah. So the Giants treated him poorly.
Hold on. I'm not.
They've just let this man for the last 4 years.
I didn't know that.
Be basic garbage
is your one,
and left him out there at the starter. And now they've mistreated it?
Is workplace only, are we only going to base it on how much our check is? It's about
I know
condition.
You are.
Hell no. 98%. But I need a nice weight room. Feed me. Have the studio air conditioned. Like, there are other things, other variables that come into play besides just monetary compensation. How you treat
somebody? They let the man start the last 3 or 4 years and he hasn't helped
them. He played okay last year. He had some blips there last year. So don't do that to 2019 like that. 18.
He's a reminder of the failure you've been going through for the last.
And he's also a reminder of two Super Bowl MVPs.
Absolutely.
He's a reminder of the championship.
How many guys on this current roster were even alive when he won them Super Bowls?
That's the
let
point.
Let alone on the roster.
That's the point. He's a translated message of greatness. He's right there in living body and form. You can touch him. That's the guy that's going to go into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, your teammate.
You know who has the most losses since 2017? That's what the guys in that locker room know. Eli.
Why are you doing this to him?
Ain't nobody special.
It's not about special. It's about treatment. It's like, you know, I don't need special
they
treatment.
Treated they just him benched wonderfully. Him.
It's not about special. They just
They've
benched
treated him.
Him
wonderfully.
But it's a difference between cutting me in the offseason and cutting me week three, and I'm Eli Manning. You better recognize.
He's going to be the quarterback for the Jaguars with Coughlin. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Jalen Ramsey. All right.
You.
Oh. Uncle Rambro.
Say it again.
Uncle Rambro.
You got a big dummy of the day. Marcellus was pretty impressive today.
Oh, man, you and Eli man. Getting cut.
Big Eli. Dummy of the day who said during their wit log, I'm sitting on the fence. What the hell the fence made of? Titanium? You need to sell it to the government, whatever the hell it is.
Oh, boy. That's Trump right. Wall right there.
Let's talk Jalen Ramsey, who has made it clear he wants to be traded out of Jacksonville after an eventful three seasons where his play on the field has only been outdone by his nonstop trash talking and antics off the field. Marcellus, is Jalen Ramsey worth the headache?
Oh, he's worth the headache. That old talk of trading him to the Chiefs and what that price tag would look like, I'm not going that far. But, yeah, this guy is a talented player. He's been an all-pro before, two-time pro bowler, is a beast on the field. So, yeah, it's that balancing act. The game is strong. So, yeah, some of those character issues, you look past him because he's a baller.
All right, Uncle Rambro, I suggested the Chiefs trade Tyreek Hill for Jalen Ramsey. I think he's worth the headache. Mm. I think he could potentially be the next Deion Sanders. Mm. Uncle Rambro, do you have an opinion?
I think that the Kansas City Chiefs need to definitely go out and pick up Jalen Ramsey.
Mm. You agree with me? All right.
Let me ask you, did Bill Belichick just go out and sign Antonio Brown?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so you telling me that Darth Vader himself, leader of the Death Star Empire, just went out and hired himself another little helper?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you saying Saint Andy Reid can't go out and seek a little help from the dark side? Look at it. This ain't my preference. This ain't my ideal situation. But, you know, we got to do what we got to do right now.
I would agree.
Now, I'm going to tell you what we ain't going to do.
Yeah.
We ain't going to trade Tariq Hill.
Yeah, that part.
We give you some 2030 number one draft picks. We ain't trading Tariq Hill.
You can only pay so many people. You get rid of Tyreek Hill's contract, makes room to pay Jalen Ramsey.
Look here, man. Your little Rambo soliloquy, it was cute.
Yeah.
But like you done heard several times in your life, you just came up a little bit short. But yeah. you got them all mixed up.
Yeah, what?
You said this is Rambo.
Yeah.
Hell no, bro. It's not Rambo. It's really the Fast and the Furious. Okay. The offense is fast, and the defense will make you furious. Fast and furious.
That is the truth.
What we're saying is Jalen Ramsey ain't no damn Chuck Norris. A.K.A. Colonel, what you call him?
James Braddock.
James Braddock from Missing in Action.
Yeah.
Who?
Jalen Ramsey is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm.
Coming to take a successful franchise, the Kansas City Chiefs, to a new higher level.
Ooh, I like this.
The Rock, yeah,
The Rock is cooking.
Look here, man, let me tell y'all something. I done waited too long for this. The last time the Kansas City Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl, I was driving a 71 Bonneville with a black vinyl top.
Chiefs made the Super Bowl in like 69. How would you drive in a 71 Bonneville?
Well, I told you, me and your daddy had it like that, didn't
we? Back to the Future, lying.
Look at me, you know who the president was?
Oh.
The president was Richard Milhouse Nixon, a.k.a. Tricky. Was still the president back then.
That's true.
Hey, look here. Gas was 5 cents a gallon.
Ooh. Fill it up.
Hey, man, listen, I've been a Chiefs fan since before they left Texas. Matter of fact, I helped them get out of Texas. I was working for the Mayfire Moving Company, and they moved the Texans out in the middle of the night, and due to the fact of my previous marriage condition, I knew the quick routes out of town, so I was the right guy for the job. So I'm trying to tell you, nephew, you ain't gonna mess this up for me.
Gotcha.
This is our time. This is our year.
Gotcha. All right.
You or nobody else is going to stop this.
So you want him, huh?
Yeah, you want him. All right. I got Jalen Ramsey at a 60 role player.
We are close.
20 job performance, 6 all-time greatness, 17 character, 17 authenticity.
Yeah, man. I got him right around you, 62. Only thing, the authenticity.
Yeah, what's your problem there?
He got quiet last year. Remember, he got a little quiet because they were starting to play a little better against him.
They talk trash when you're 5-11.
Hey, man. Be
silence
you.
Is consent.
Do you. Silence is consent. No Brinks truck stuff. You ain't getting paid right now. You know that. What you doing with
all
the
right.
Brinks truck?
Come all-star. On, the internet has him as an all-star.
Nah,
a little high.
Yeah, all-star player.